Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, my name is BJ Berry. Welcome to 100 Music Legends. The stories of the 100 most important songs that you most definitely should know. Today we feature The Police with Every Breath You Take.
Every breath you take, and every move you make, every bond you break, every step you take, I'll be watching you.
Most music fans of the 90s probably thought, hey, great beat, why isn't there a rap in that song? More on that later. Every Breath You Take was the first number one hit in the U.S. for The Police, and it ended up being their swan song. What else could they have achieved? But the chemistry was so bad in the band that this was actually the beginning of the end. Every Breath You Take was the first real solo song written exclusively by Sting. By the time the other two had heard it, it was already a masterpiece. Sting's demo version had already been fully produced. Actually, the other two just had to replay the parts that they heard, and those other two being Andy Summers on guitar and Stuart Copeland on drums. And the latter was the actual founder of the band, and he still says,
to this day, it's my band. It's the band that I'm a part of. Like, the United States is my country, and Sting is my singer. Actually, more important, Sting's my bass player.
In short, Sting was only his bass player. But in reality, and let's be clear here, everyone knows who Sting is, and chances are you only know Stuart Copeland if you're a drummer. Stuart Copeland was born in the USA, but later moved to Great Britain with his brothers and family. His dad worked for the CIA. He played on a professional level, for example, with the band Curved Air, which was managed, by the way, by his brother Miles Copeland back in 1976. Punk was in, and Copeland believed that he could make some money with it. Then he met this good-looking bass player with a charismatic voice in Newcastle. They spoke, and soon after that, they had a punk band. This also included an Italian guitarist by the name of Henry Padovani. But he was more of a quota punk. In other words, high credibility on the punk scene, but his musical skills were limited. When Copeland later met Andy Summers, who was an absolute pro as a guitarist, both Sting and Copeland were thrilled, and the quota punk was annoyed. He would always have to explain to his other punk buddies what he was doing with those guys. So eventually, he left the band after two gigs.
My experience was not The Police knowing that they would be number one and that Sting would one day write Every Breath You Take.
Probably a move that he still regrets to this day. So now we have these three ambitious young guys who were actually more into jazz music but pretended to be punks. And in the beginning, it wasn't easy. Let's just say the real punks smelled something strange, and the rock fans didn't really know what to do with this band. So the first single was a total flop. Yep, that's right. That track is cult today, but back when it was released, it was a total flop. But rescue was at hand when the drummer's brother, Miles, booked a mini U.S. tour for The Police. And in the U.S., they had heard about this new hip thing called punk from the U.K., and they welcomed the three pseudo-punks. And when they finally came back home, thousands were in the audience where they would normally have about eight people. Their success story in the USA obviously convinced a home crowd, and then they released their second single, Roxanne, again. And this time, Roxanne climbed its way up the charts. From then on, sky was the limit. And The Police became partly the biggest band on earth with tours to countries most unusual for rock music. Photos of the pyramids or the Taj Mahal convinced their fans that The Police were world stars. So everything was good, right? Unfortunately, not at all. The chemistry in the band was explosive, both behind the scenes and even on stage. The fights, especially between Stuart Copeland and Sting, were fought openly. The worst fights were in the studio. The sound engineers even canceled sessions because they couldn't stand the poison that was in the air. Meanwhile, every new record they released climbed straight up the charts, and the tours were sold out all over the world. And especially one member came more and more into focus. That member, Sting. Not only was he the band's lead singer, but he was also a successful actor, and he was on the front covers of any relevant music magazines. The two others just moved more and more into the background. Not really great for the mood within the band, which was heated up anyway. Stuart Copeland, a total pro at heart, sums it up exactly this way.
And Sting was just one hell of a good-looking pop star. We were jealous, we were, you know, envious, and all that at the same time, as we knew that this was very good for us.
So they knew Sting's success was good for the Police, and therefore, they remained silent. But that wasn't the only reason for the quarrels. Sting was also on the rise as a composer. His interest in mass appeal songs was clear. Unlike the others who liked the tricky stuff. The absolute peak was reached while recording Every Breath You Take. Sting had written the song at the retreat of 007 creator Ian Fleming named Golden Eye. It was meant as a swan song for his broken relationship with his first wife, Frances Tumelty. His focus in the song was on his pathological jealousy and his compulsive control mania. That too would sometimes show its ugly face in the recording studios with the band. They had some fierce arguments in the studio over exactly Every Breath You Take. When Copeland, as usual, offered a tricky reggae rhythm on drums and Sting just lost it. He said, just for once, play a fucking simple downbeat. Copeland did the job with a stone face. But Sting was right. Every Breath You Take became the band's most successful single ever. But after those sessions, it was over for the Police. The song was also extremely influential outside the band. Michael Stipe of REM says that he thought Every Breath You Take was so great that he too wanted to write a song that was kind of similar or even better. One could say, mission accomplished. And then someone just came along and sampled it. Puff Daddy just rewrote the song and put a rap over it in honor of his deceased rapper friend, Notorious B.I.G.
Living your life after death.
It, too, was a worldwide hit. It appears that Every Breath You Take just touched all genres, and you can still hear it on various playlists today. Because a good song is a good song is a good song, right? And, oh well, Sting and Stuart Copeland are probably still a little pissed off at each other, but hopefully they can still at least smile when they get their royalty checks, because their music is still selling. Before we let you go, we'd like to remind you to subscribe to this podcast. Check out our playlist on Apple Music and Spotify, and while you're there, make a song request. Go to 100greatsongs.com. And oh yeah, the next time you hear Every Breath You Take, just imagine Sting screaming, for just once, play a fucking simple downbeat. Then hit the play button and enjoy the mellow track. We'll see you in a while.